KSJD Streaming is sponsored by Osprey PAX, a Montezuma County company since 1990. Osprey PAX, pack your passion, go.
Good morning. Welcome to Tuesday Morning Zine, Pandora's Box, the other side of the story on your health and the environment. This is Joni Trussell, co-host of Pandora's Box, and today I'm here with Zen Honeycutt, founder and director of Moms Across America. Moms Across America is a national coalition of unstoppable moms committed to empowering millions to educate themselves about GMOs and related pesticides, get GMOs labeled, and offer GMO-free and organic solutions. The website includes over 300 testimonials of moms describing their children's health issues and the changes that occur to their health once they stopped eating GMO foods and went organic. The Moms Across America website also talks about the organizing events, including moms being part of 4th of July parades across the country, educating people about GMOs and promoting GMO labeling. Welcome to Pandora's Box, Zen.
Thank you so much, Joni. I'm happy to be on KSJB.
Thanks. And so the first question I have for you is, can you talk a little bit about your experience with your sons, how you became more aware of GMOs, and how that brought you to start Moms Across America?
Yes, I'm happy to. Thank you for the opportunity. This is so important to me because, of course, I love my children, as all parents do, and because I'm concerned about their future as well. My children could just eat organic, but my son's future spouses are out there somewhere, and they're eating GMO food, which is in now 85% of our processed foods. And the reason why I found out about this is because my sons all have allergies. Two of them have life-threatening allergies to nuts. They also have wheat, and they did have dairy allergy. Eggs, gluten, which is in wheat, and peanuts, tree nuts, and carrageenan, which is a seaweed food thickener. Now, the previous allergies, the tree nuts and the wheat and the dairy and the eggs, I had heard of those before in my friends. You know, they all had kids with some sort of allergy. Not all of them, but most of them. And but when my son got a carrageenan allergy, I thought, well, wait a second, what's this? And it's a seaweed food thickener, and it's in just about everything kids like, hot dogs, ice cream, lunches, lunch meats, and candy and sauces. I was like, why can my son eat a hot dog one day but not the next? What's going on here? Something's going on with him. And so I researched, and a friend sent me the Robin O'Brien TED Talk called Patriotism on a Plate, which is on YouTube, and it changed my life. I found out that GMOs are foreign proteins, which are in 85% of our food. It's when a DNA of a bacteria is injected into the DNA of a completely unrelated species. It has nothing to do with being a hybrid. It's done in a lab. And this foreign protein is then either a toxin, which makes the plant a pesticide, like the corn, for instance, is a registered pesticide with the EPA, or it alters the plant to be able to resist herbicides. And the number one used herbicide is Roundup. Roundup contains a chemical called glyphosate. And glyphosate, all of these, they don't wash off. They don't cook off, and we ingest them. And glyphosate is a chelator. It's an endocrine disruptor. And that means, chelation means it draws out the vital nutrients and minerals of our bodies, which we need to fight cancer. It's an endocrine disruptor, meaning it causes birth defects and miscarriages, and this is on the EPA fact sheet about this chemical, and it's also an antibiotic. It's patented with the USPTO as an antibiotic, and that means it destroys gut bacteria, and this has been proven in chickens in a study by a man named Carrusco. And, newborns are the size of a chicken, and during starting Moms Across America, when we did some testing, I discovered that glyphosate was in breast milk. So I got started because my children had allergies, and a lot of the other moms from Moms Across America, their children either had allergies or autism, autoimmune issues, asthma, all kinds of health issues. So we are highly motivated to reach out and connect and then to empower other moms, because we care about not just our children, but our children's future with their spouses. So I got involved in Prop 37 once I found out about this, and when that didn't pass, I asked myself, how can I reach as many people as possible and continue to spread awareness about GMOs? And the idea that came to me was to march in 4th of July parades. You know, first I thought about a march on Washington, but with limited resources that moms have, I thought it's not as likely for that to happen. Plus, we really needed to raise a lot of awareness. So many people still don't know what GMOs are and that they've been in our food since 1996. So I thought about 4th of July parades because they're local. The permits and the police and the porta potties have already been, you know, arranged and set up by the local organizer, and we just need to join in as a group. And when you do, if one parade has three people deep, you know, three people on each side for 3 miles, then that's 49,000 people that we're reaching in a single day, thousands locally and millions nationally in a single day. And so I launched the website in February of 2013, just 2 years ago now. And it went from, the Facebook page went from a reach of 0 to 300,000 a week in just 4 months. And 172 moms in 44 states joined into 4th of July parades and reached, I'm guessing, around 2 million people because of, there's also TV, you know, a lot of the local TV stations pick up the parade, and there's just so many people at each parade. We reached at least 2 million people on that day. And we did it the next year as well. We had parades, and since then we've had over 400 leaders and volunteers cause over 500 events. And it's just been very, very exciting to have people become leaders in their neighborhoods for health and freedom is what we call our motto, and have empowered moms, healthy kids. That's what we're working for.
And so one of the things about this that is so powerful is moms who are experiencing health issues with their kids are so motivated. It's the power of moms who are so motivated by trying to protect their kids.
We'll do anything for our kids. You know, we really will. And the saying goes that moms do better research than the FBI. In fact, there's been entire movies made, you know, on that type of premise, that a mom will not stop. And I say we will not give up, because the love for our children will never end. And it won't. We are an extremely formidable force. And we will continue, and we will share, and you can't stop a mom sharing at a barbecue or a birthday or on Facebook or on, although they are trying to limit the algorithms on that. But we will continue to share in our neighborhoods and communities. And in fact, we're going to have an event on May 2nd, and we just surpassed our goal of 100 hosts around the country, and we would love to have hundreds more, if not thousands more, have a meetup on May 2nd where you have, 12 to 15 people over to your house, your moms. We're hoping to create a safe space for moms to be able to share about their children's health issues and their solutions. And we're going to have an international conference call at 10:30 Pacific time on May 2nd on a Saturday. And we invite moms to host one in your hometown. Join us on the international call to action with Vandana Shiva, Jeffrey Smith, Evangelos Valientos, who wrote Poison Spring. He's an EPA whistleblower.
So, Zen, I just need to interrupt you because we're going to take a little break right now.
Sure.
And I just want to remind people, if they're just tuning in, that this is Joni Trussell on Pandora's Box. And today I'm here with Zen Honeycutt, founder of Moms Across America, a coalition of moms whose goal is to educate moms across America about GMOs and offer them alternative food sources. And we'll be back in a moment. Thanks. back. This is Joni Trussell on Pandora's Box, and today I'm here with Zen Honeycutt, founder of Moms Across America, a coalition of moms whose goal is to educate moms across America about GMOs and offer them alternative food sources. And the second part I'd like you to talk a little bit about is in January of this year, you attended a Monsanto shareholders meeting in St. Louis. In your reporting of the experience, you talked about your conversation when you were introduced to the CEO of Monsanto, Hugh Grant. And in the course of the conversation, you said to Mr. Grant, "It takes a big man to make such a big and powerful company, but it takes an even bigger man to acknowledge when it's not working and change direction." Can you talk about your experience of being at the shareholders meeting and standing up in front of, what was it, 800 people?
Yeah, my estimate is 800. Uh-huh.
And that
it could have been more.
What it was like to stand up and confront the CEO of Monsanto?
Well, I might be a little bit crazy, but it was a dream come true. It was something that I have been envisioning for at least a year when I found out about GMOs, and I realized that he needs to do something about this, and he can. And as evil as people see him as a human being, that really doesn't matter. You know, what he has done in the past is not what I'm concerned with it, but it's not what I'm concerned with going forward in the future. And whether he's evil or not, I really don't care about that. What I care about is the actions he's going to take in the future. And if he sees that it's not good business for him to keep doing what he's doing, he's going to be compelled to take different actions going forward in the future just to maintain the business, even if he doesn't have a concern around being good or not doing evil, right? That really doesn't matter. So all that matters is that he takes actions to go into a new direction. And that's going to take something. It will take some courage, and it will take some shifting, and it will take, I don't know, whatever it is. I don't care, but he needs to take that action. And as a mother, I need to stand for that. And I've been told, you know, going in front of the chemical companies is even more impossible than going in front of the White House and the Senate staffers and asking them to change things. And I said, well, I don't care. I don't care how impossible it is. We need to stand for this. I don't care if it's the devil himself. I will stand for this because you're talking about my child and their future and my future grandchildren and the survival of this country and the human race. So it was extremely empowering. I was very, very grateful to John Harrington and Tracy at Harrington Investments. And
they were the ones that gave you the
opportunity. Right. Yes. Yeah, so, Alexis Bademeyer from OCA sort of cooked it up and created this opportunity with Harrington Investments. And they're the ones that own stock and were able to put a referendum forth at the Monsanto shareholder meeting, which I spoke for.
Can you talk a little bit about what that is, that referendum that you
spoke? Sure. It was it's called the Shareholder Access Proxy, and it was a advisory, not a compulsory proxy, meaning they don't have to implement it. But it did pass, so that does put pressure on the board to honor the majority vote of the shareholders, which would allow them to vote for board members to be on the board. It would give them an ability to vote for the board members, which could include a pediatrician or a farmer. And you would think that the quote-unquote largest sustainable agriculture company in the world would want to have a farmer on the board, or a pediatrician who would be concerned for the products which they are producing, which are being consumed by children and the future of our country, right? You would think that they would want to have somebody on the board that would be advising them that their products are safe for our children. And so that was my intent, was to get that passed. But I also had the intent to raise awareness with the shareholders that the direction that Monsanto is going in is not the direction that's in their best interest of building a foundation of security for their children and their grandchildren to come. That their investment could, in fact, be the thing that is destroying their children's and grandchildren's future through their health.
So were you surprised when it actually passed?
I was floored. Yes, I was completely surprised. I mean, Tracy from Harrington Investments did a good job with, you know, making sure it was cleared by the SEC and it had investor support, she really did the brunt of the work. My speaking there was just, I mean, a lot of the people had already voted. So my speaking there, I'm hoping just, you know, brought it over the edge and did get it to pass. But for me to have a small part in it was thrilling. And I teared up in the room and people patted me on the back and I turned around and there were the shareholders smiling at me. It was shocking. And then after the meeting, I was being corralled out of the room. They did not want me to speak to the other shareholders. But I did have to go to the bathroom, and so I did. And in the bathroom, a woman looked at me very earnestly and said, "Thank you so much for your courage. There are many, many of us behind you, so please don't stop." And I cried, and I hugged her. I couldn't help it. I was so overwhelmed. It was a really incredible experience, and I really believe that if we can shift the minds and the perceptions of the shareholders just enough to have them challenge and encourage the company to shift direction, that they will. There'll be no alternative, that Monsanto will have to change direction, and they have the resources to do it. They can do it. They can go into solar, wind. They can find a way to clean up the ocean. God knows we need it. You know, there's plenty of other things that they could support. Aquaponics across the nation. One farm of aquaponics in Wisconsin, a farmer named Will Allen, produces 1 million pounds of food on 3 acres, 10,000 fish and vegetables. That's a protein and a vegetable source on 3 acres. If we had that all around the world, there would be no problem with food and resources. If that's what they really want to do, that's what they need to support. And they can.
So I have one last question for you, and that's about the California Grange, which has kind of been a renegade grange against the National Grange in taking a stand on GMOs. Can you talk just a little bit about how that came about?
Well, you would have to ask the Grange how all of that came about, but all I know is that when I heard the California Grange mission, how they're out to, you know, empower local farmers and leaders to make a difference in their communities with agriculture and leadership and community connection and legislation, I knew that they were a great fit for us to be our fiscal sponsor. And I'm very proud to be associated with them because they have been harassed and they have been essentially kicked out of the National Grange, and there's a lawsuit going on now. And the National Grange, you know, is a huge supporter of major farmers, and many of them, or most of them, are GMO farmers. So they did not like it when the California Grange made a stand for GMO labeling and supported labeled GMOs, and they supported Moms Across America and the National Grange. Well, they already didn't like it before then. I think that might have already been in the process to kick them out because of Prop 37. So that's in the works right now. There's a lawsuit happening, and, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, but we do know that the California Grange is operating independently now from the National Grange. And they all believe they have the right to do so. I mean, they have a couple hundred chapters around California and thousands of members that are active and vital contributors to their communities around agriculture and leadership. I mean, these are the people, you may not have heard of the Grange, but these are the people who write the initial referendums and proposals, that they bring them to the legislators, they meet with them. They're essentially lobbyists, you know, for what works for communities and agriculture. So if there's farms that are close to your schools and they're spraying toxic chemicals, it's likely a Grange member that's going to go to the legislation and say, listen, this has to stop, right? Because it's involved with agriculture and the community, and they're aware of these things.
Thanks so much, Zen. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. And if you're just tuning in, this has been Pandora's Box. I'm Joni Trussell. I've been here with Zen Honeycutt, who is the founder and director of Moms Across America, a coalition of moms whose goal is to educate moms across America about GMOs and offer them alternative food sources. And thanks again, Zen, for being with us today.
Thanks for letting me share, Joni.